to make it today. This is a personal decision.
Amen.
Mama said she felt she wanted to be able to know God personally. To know God personally. This is a personal decision. Now, what does it mean? I love this way. One must purpose heaven wide. To purpose heaven wide, purpose in space. It means one must have a strong determination.
Amen.
It's a strong determination to make it to heaven.
Amen.
What does a strong determination mean? You will always have opposition.
Yeah.
You will always have discouragement. You will always be misled in the process. But if you are determined, you know what you want, you will fight for it.
Amen.
Yes.
Yesterday, during the evangelistic service in Matthew 11, they said, from the day of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffered violence.
Yeah.
And the violence, they take it by force.
Amen.
Yeah. This is something worth fighting for.
Yeah.
I will give a bit of my testimony. I grew up in a family, materially, with so much lacking. I grew up in a family where sometimes we would run out of food. I remember one of the days, the mini meal that we had, we were 8 children. And my mom was trying to cook pap. I hope you all know pap.
Yeah.
Now, when she was cooking pap, the mini meal was not enough to make pap. Not even to make the porridge. So she just mixed it. It was very much water. And she came to us and said, my children, this is all we have. And she could not dish it up, get it put into cups and make us drink. And that's all we could have to go to bed. When I grew up, I had a strong determination. My determination was, I don't want to live the same life that I lived with my parents. I want to turn around the situation.
Yeah.
All I know is that when I was doing high school, I would look for extra classes to make sure I pass my high school very well.
Yeah.
I would go to people who have passed the class that I'm in to help me in some of the subjects that I was doing to make sure that I pass well.
Mm-hmm.
When I finished my high school, all I know is that I passed so well, I didn't have money to go to university. I had to go and work. I remember at some point God came to me from my sister, I must go to university. At that time, my parents could not pay for my university either. But the fact that I could register, I could step into a lecture hall, I told myself, I want to turn around the situation.
Yeah.
My plan is to turn around the situation.
Yeah.
All I know is that one of the first tests that I wrote, it was economics. I got zero. It was my first time in my life, it got zero. And I remember that day, when you got the assignment, you know, the professor, he wrote zero, he wrote some ears, you know, a smiling face, you know. And as he was giving out, you know, the scripts, you know. Sometimes they'll say, no, turn it down, you turn it upside down. I will tell you where to look at it, you know. So we are all holding it, and when I open, I see a smiling face. It was a sad time in my life.
Yeah.
I was so sad. To me, it was more like my future is crumbling right before me. But all I know is that I had a determination.
Amen.
To turn around the situation.
Amen. Yes.
I remember I went back to sleep after studying. I dreamt having failed my course, having lost my opportunity at university. It was about 2 a.m. All I can remember, I woke up immediately, I ran out of sleep. I took my textbooks, I went back to the study hall. I studied. I started studying. I studied and studied until about 5 a.m. Because my intention was a determination. I wanted to turn around the situation.
Yeah.
I'm saying this morning, God wants to restore for someone.
Amen.
God wants to make a restoration.
Amen.
But to have the determination. have the determination.
Yes.
Please beware when you are here. You may be offended by me. You may be offended by the situation.
Yeah.
You may be offended by what you get.
Yeah.
You know, anything can offend us. It can be food. It's possible that maybe food is about to be dished out. By the time you get there, food is finished when you get there. You may be offended by that, but what is your determination?
Yeah. Yeah.
May God help us to understand that we need to turn around the situation.
Yeah.
We need to get a shout of blessing in this world.
Amen. Amen.
Most of the time, when people come, we look at the place. Most of the time, people these days, they talk about big churches. They talk about men of God who will bless you. I want to tell you this morning, one who can bless you is not here. He's not been sitting here. He's in heaven.
Amen.
If you go to the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, I'll be reading fast. May you please go with me. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27. It says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. Adam and Eve, when we read in the scriptures, they possessed a pure bias and inclination to do right.
Amen.
Yeah.
In other words, naturally, they had a tendency to do right.
Mm-hmm.
I will use an example. I want to use maybe a simple example, a car. If you start the engine, you put your gear to drive. And when you press the pedal, what happens to the car? It moves. If you put maybe something, maybe a brake on the pedal and lift the car, it will move by itself. Why? Why is it moving? Why doesn't it stop? It's because it's just how it is. The way the car is designed, once the engine is on, once you press the pedal and the gear is engaged, forward, it will move because that's just how it is.
Amen.
It can't do otherwise. Even if you put it on the roof, as long as the engine is running, the gear is engaged, the pedal is on, it will drive down. It will never stop and say, oh, it's the end of the roof, I'm stopping. It is just how it is. That's how it's designed.
Amen.
We need to understand that when Adam and Eve were created, they were just like that. They had a pure bias to do right.
Yeah.
They had an inclination to do right.
Yeah.
Amen.
But we need to understand this. They exercise in them a potential to do otherwise. In them, there was a potential to do otherwise.
Yeah.
Even though they were, it was natural for them to do right. But there was a potential to go another way.
Mm-hmm.
They had a free will like we have today.
Yeah.
They had rational capacities like we have today. We are here today. Please be informed, it's your choice.
Yes.
It is your choice. Let me tell you, young person. You may say or your dad has pushed you or your parents have pushed you. Still, it's your choice because you can run away.
Yes.
I know some of us would come to church. When I feel like today I don't want to be in the church, I will create something, an errand in a church, to be outside of the church. Because it was my choice. And beware, for us to be here today, it's our choice.
Yeah.
It is our free will. The same free will that God had given Adam and Eve, it made it possible for them to choose wrongly. When they were faced with temptation, if you read it in Genesis chapter 3, I will not read, they chose to yield to the temptation. They chose to yield. May God help us to understand the original sin was an act of free whom God had created in his own image, they deliberately, living out of their choice, responsibly understanding what they were doing. There was no mistake in it. There was a responsibility. And with adequate understanding, they understood what it is. I would love to think, you know, there are times when you talk, they say read between the lines. I know sometimes, you know, when you grow up, they say when you talk to a lady, a yes may not always be a yes.
Right.
You might talk to her, she say yes, but you need to read between the lines because it can mean at all. I very much understand that when God spoke to them, he didn't want them to read between the lines.
No.
He was very clear.
Oh yes.
He was very clear with them. He told them, you can eat of everything except one tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was very clear. So when the devil came to test them, they had a responsibility. There was no mistake.
God bless. Amen.
They understood as well the consequences. Because God said, the day you eat of the fruit, you are going to die. You will die there. They understood what the consequences are. All we know, with their free will, they chose to disobey. Just one single restraint. Let's remember, in the garden, there was one restraint. You can eat all the trees. But just one tree. They chose to obey that single restraint that God had placed on them. It is important to note, may God help us.
Yes.
It is important to note that the woman was tempted from the outside. She was not tempted from the inside, she was tempted from the outside. I will explain this so that we understand. I have got this. When you are saved, you are covered.
Yes.
You are like this. It's you. This is Jesus. This is the blood of Jesus. You are covered in the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
When the devil comes, all he sees the blood. He cannot touch you.
Yes. God bless.
Yes.
When you are saved, the devil cannot touch you.
Okay.
He has no power.
Amen.
But let me tell you how he gets to you. He will try to bring things to attract you, to make you yourself, to move you out of the blood. Once you yield to the temptation, you move out of the blood, then he starts bringing things away.
Yes.
The devil knew very well that I cannot get to these people. I need to test them from the outside. This is a camp meeting of restoration.
Amen.
In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it said, but if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Yes.
All things are passed away.
Amen.
And like it says, behold, it means look.
Yes.
Everything has become new.
Yes.
This is a day of renewal.
Amen.
This is a day of renewal.
God bless you.
This is a day of renewal.
Amen.
But remember, it is your determination. Do you want to make heaven your home? Do you want to make heaven your home?
Amen.
Do you want to make heaven your home?
Amen.
I always ask myself, I always say to the people, we are the apostolic faith of Portland forever. That's who we are. But remember, apostolic faith of Portland Oracle can never take you to heaven.
Amen.
But in the same breath, I love apostolic faith.
Amen.
You know why? In this church, we've got Sunday school. In Sunday school, we don't read for you. We give you even whatever the lesson is to read for yourself.
Amen.
What does this mean? It's an opportunity for you to dig in this way.
Amen.
So that you can be empowered.
Amen.
And you have a determination to go more.
Yeah.
We have Bible study. Bible study as well, maybe here, but I have seen, it's the same way. Bible study, we give you a lesson.
Yeah.
you won't study yourself.
Yeah.
All I know is that with Bible study, if you study deeper, you've got a free will to even comment, isn't it?
Yeah.
No one cares, no brother, read deeper. We are going this way only. If you have more questions, you have got the freedom to then go and ask the pastors to get an explanation.
Yeah.
Why is this happening? It's so that we can be empowered and have a determination.
Yeah.
The question this morning is, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? There's a scripture I will read. I will start in the book of Genesis. I want us to follow this one. It's about Esau. If you read in the book of Genesis chapter 25, just Genesis chapter 25, I will start from verse 34. I'll read 34. It says, then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink. And before I read that, there is the one that I want to give. If you read verse 30. And Esau said to Jacob, not this one. And Esau said, feed me, I pray, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. 31. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Verse 32. Note that one. And Esau said, note what Esau says. Behold, I'm at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? If you go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16, it says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Verse 17, for you know, how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. These are the frightening words in this verse. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. I want to explain again this matter. Jacob has simply cooked a soup of beans. Lentils are type of beans. And when we explain the scripture, yes, it was a red pottage. They are trying to explain the color of what attraction meant. I would love to think in those days, I have traveled a bit, I have seen some meal is described with a color. In our country, we say, you know, five colors meal. We know it's a meal with some vegetables, you know, you've got your beetroot, your carrots, you know, green, but you know, it means it's a nice meal. If I say, oh, we are having five colored meals, then everybody come running knowing that it's a nice meal. Now here they're trying to explain the food, the soup. The soup was, it looked delicious, it was true. When Esau looked at it, he looked at the soup, he thought, I want this soup. But this is the problem.
Yeah.
When he was told, sell me your birthright, he said, I'm at a point to die. Who told him he was going to die? He saw himself going to die. He said, but I'm at a point to die. What does this birthright tell me? Comparatively, he looked at his situation today. I'm hungry. I'm going to die. And when he looked at the birthright, depending on the current need, the birthright came useless. In the book of Hebrews, it says like Esau, who despised his birthright. He despised it. He looked at it, he despised it. The most important thing, it became useless just because of hunger. May God help us this morning. May we not despise our birthright. I always ask people and say, among us, whoever chose where you want to be born. Who can tell me, I said to my mom, I want to be your to be my mom. No one chooses. God places us where he wants us to be.
Amen.
In other words, our birthright comes from God. Amen. Why did God place you to a parent who is in this church? Why did God place you in another church? Some parents, they were in another church. Why did God bring them to this church before you were born? Why didn't God leave them there? Are we not aware that this is our birthright? It's where God places us. What are you doing with your birthright? Are you going to be like Esau today? Are you going to be like Esau today? Don't forget, Esau was hungry. He had all the right to compare. It was fair to look and say, you know what? Maybe the Bible doesn't tell us more about his health. Maybe he was a sickly person. He was not supposed to be stay too long hungry. By the way, he was a hunter. Maybe that day he walked a very long distance. He came back, he was surely tired. With the energy he had he not eaten, he could have been sick maybe. It's possible. But the Bible does not give an excuse that he gave him a right to despise his birthright. He had no right, even come what may, to push away the birthright in turn because of food. He was to keep the birthright. He was to honor the birthright. Because the Bible tells us he failed, he despised it. What frightens me says, though he wanted the birthright in tears, because there was no place for repentance. Let me tell you this morning, repentance comes from God. Repentance comes from God.
Amen.
There is nothing I can do today to repent and be found worthy before God. There is nothing in me I can do to repent today. Repentance comes from God. The fact that God has given us this repentance, our place of repentance is still there.
Amen.
May God help us not to lose that
place.
Esau cried in tears. He cried, but the place of repentance was gone. There was no way to come back. May it not happen to us today.
Amen.
If you go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I'll read from verse 9 to 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 from verse 9. But if they cannot come, sorry, I'm reading the wrong one. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 from verse 9. Now I rejoice. Not that you were made sorrow, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. Paul gets talking to the Corinthians. He's telling them they were made sorry. They did not make themselves sorry. They were made sorry. In verse 10, he explains, says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance into salvation. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. 11, for behold, this self-same thing that he sorrowed after a godly son, what carefulness it wrought in you. Ye, what hearing of yourselves, ye, what indignation, ye, what fear, ye, what vehement desire, ye, what zeal, what revenge. In all things, ye have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. I'll explain this scripture. I would love to think maybe the young people may not understand it yet, but I think this is very easy. When you go to court, I know that when you go to court, when you arrive at court, maybe I'm guilty. I have killed someone. all I have seen people when they arrive, they get a lawyer. And when they arrive at court, they say, are you guilty? Saying, I'm not guilty. By the way, my saying I'm not guilty to the magistrate, you know, or to the judge, does not make me that I'm not guilty. I know very well I'm guilty, but I will say I'm not guilty. What we have seen is that these people will keep on pleading not guilty until they are caught, until evidence is revealed. It can be an evidence of a video, it can be an evidence of a DNA test, it can be an evidence of the fingerprints of the weapon that was used, and then only these people, once they are caught, they start to plead guilty. They start to say, I am guilty. All I know is that once they say they are guilty, there is a time now of judgment. When the time of judgment comes, there is what we call legal mitigation of circumstances. When they mitigate, in other words, I'm trying to tell the judge that, yes, I'm guilty, but don't punish me too much. Punish me a little. All I know is that some people, they will go to the judge and give history to try and mitigate the judgment. You will claim that I am a breadwinner at home, only to find that I'm not a breadwinner. I will claim that my wife is not working well. You know, I have seen one person in our country. She's earning more than 100,000 rand, but she claims poverty. Is that I'm poor? I know people will say all the sort of things to try and reduce the judgment. Don't forget, the person is pleading already guilty. It is the sorrow of the world. The sorrow of the world is here, but it's not in the heart. The sorrow of the world is because they have seen me, or they've caught me now, or I'm sorry, dear brother. But in the heart, I am not sorry. Godly sorrow is the one that says I'm guilty even when they don't see me. Is the one where I will feel sorry, even though they don't know about it.
Yes. Yes.
There was one sister, I've read one of the testimonies. The sister, she was staying in Zimbabwe. She stayed in Zimbabwe, and she was not staying then. She did not have children. She kept on having miscarriage. So what she did, she says, each time she got pregnant, you know, when the time for delivery came, she would have a miscarriage. She would make sure that she escaped the country. She would go to South Africa and go there, kidnap a little child, bring her to Zimbabwe. Obviously, the husband knows the wife is in hospital. When, in essence, she had crossed the border, she comes back with the little child. Oh, this is our child. She did it. It was about 3 children. She was doing the same thing. When godly sorrow came, she did not wait for the husband to catch her.
Amen.
When godly sorrow came, she was not afraid of what people would do. She stood up and confessed, these children are not mine. By the way, where did she kidnap the children? Not in their homes. It was in the bus stop. It was in hospital. They were going for vaccination. It was in the... She didn't even know their mothers. She cannot even show them, tell who the mothers are. But when the godly sorrow came, she was willing to say, oh, dear pastors, help me. These are not my children. I must take them back to South Africa. The pastor said, what do we do? Do you know the mother? She said, I don't know even one parent, but these are not my children. When godly sorrow came, she was willing to go down on the knees. She prayed and said, God, help me. When godly sorrow comes, that is the one that brings us repentance.
Amen. To salvation.
Amen. Amen. She crossed the border. She went to South Africa with the children. When she arrived, the first point of call was at the police station. They went to the police station. By the way, when they arrived in the police station, they want some proof, isn't it? They want some trace. All she could tell is that these children are not mine. Don't forget, as we leave, the street names have changed. Some hospitals have changed their names, but she can only remember, I told them it was a place like this. It was in a hospital called this name. You know,
know, when godly sorrow comes, God comes in and helps us. The police, when she came, instead of arresting her, they were so surprised. What have you met?
Yes.
What is it that you came across? She was telling them it's the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Bless you.
When the parents came, they could not believe what they are seeing. Let me tell you what godly sorrow does. It talks even to the next person.
Yeah.
When godly sorrow catches me, those who look at this, I want to know the next person. That's godly sorrow.
Amen.
The parents, they ended up coming to the hospital.
Yes.
Because they could not believe what is the God we wanted.
Yes.
The police who brought this woman, we want to serve this woman because
Amen.
He's very poor.
Amen.
That's what this one is. But the sorrow of the world is to please people. I'm sorry. When I know I'm not sorry, it's to say, please forgive me now. I'll give you value a present. But in my heart, I know I don't care.
Yeah.
And what does the Bible say? But the sorrow of the world, it brings death. May God help us.
Amen.
We are in the time of restoration. Do we want to make heaven our home?
Yes.
Do we want to make heaven our home?
Amen.
Do we want to make it to that city?
Yes.
May God help us. Let's stop bluffing each other. Time for bluffing each other is gone.
Yeah.
I can come here and be whatever. I can come here and be on church to at church on time. I can come here and look loving. Let's not forget who is the regulator.
Amen.
Who is the qualifier?
Yes.
It's God himself.
Amen.
And before God, in John chapter 9, verse 31, I will not read it. I'll explain. It talks about a woman who was caught in the act. I think we really know the story. This woman was caught in the act. This man, when they came, the Pharisees cried. They wanted to test this and say, what do we do to this woman? Because according to the law of Moses, she needs to be stoned. It says, Jesus said nothing. He stood down and continued writing. They said, but tell us, because you are found in the act. They were testing him. They said, he looked at them and said, if any one of you has no sin, be the first to take a stone and stone this lady. You continue writing down. The scripture says, from the young to the old, because of their conscience, they started to run away. They all started leaving. Let me tell you, when we come to God, the conscience speaks. No one can, you can never deceive your conscience. All I know is that, you know, those who understood these things, we've already got a lie detector. I guess it's here as well. In that machine, they try to look at your conscience. It's scientists that try to read your conscience. As you answer your question, you know why you're built here? I'll give an example of one man so you understand the concept. This man here, these two fingers, they were damaged, they were cut in the accident, so he was like this, you know, because the two fingers were cut. Now, an accident happened, and obviously it was a bit of a funny, as it was involving a female, and she was not looking good, he should cover his eyes. But this man is like, oh, I don't want to see what he's doing like this. The question is, when you do that, who are you deceiving? God.
No.
Because you are simply saying to God, I am sorry, but you are doing this. You think, God, yes, you can deceive us. You can do what you want to us. But let me tell you, God can see the conscience.
Amen.
God can see the conscience.
God bless you.
Today is a day of repentance.
Amen.
It's a day of new life.
Amen. Amen.
Any man being Christ is a new creature.
Yeah.
All things are passed away. Yeah. All the new things become new.
And
this day of renewal today.
Yeah. To go.
The question is, do you want it?
Yeah. Yes.
Do you want it?
Yes.
Don't forget, it's not enough to talk only. It's sufficient if you come with your heart.
Amen.
It is sufficient if you don't wrong God. Because God loosens the conscience.
Amen.
One guy was explaining, and it dawned on me that if we go to God, and I'm thinking on the judgment day, isn't it? They say judgment day, the sinners will stand on the judgment seat, isn't it? And I'm thinking, what do you think will happen? You think we'll go to God like a judge? Judge God? I didn't know, I didn't still. No, you remember God that one. But it's so and so pushy. You think you'll do that? You know your conscience will talk.
Yeah.
God won't say wait. When you approach, you know what you read in the script? They say, even the judgment seat itself, it will be talking to you. Your conscience will simply talk to you. I know very well I sin. And I know very well on this day, they were preaching about renewal. I did not listen. I know there was something in my heart telling me, go down in prayer. I prayed 2 minutes, I left. You will know very well. And guess where you go? There won't be any need for God to tell you, hey, turn that way, turn that way. No, no, don't turn that. You will find yourself going because your conscience will.
God bless you.
May we not deceive ourselves this morning. May we not deceive ourselves.
Glory be to God.
If we read in the book of Psalms, chapter 38, Psalms 38, verse 18. Psalms 38, verse 18. Psalms 38, verse 18. For I will declare my iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. If you read the scripture, most of the scripture, they tend to say it's at the time when it's obviously, he says he will declare his iniquity, isn't it? He's sorry about what he has done. And they explain, they say it's at the time when David, he had sinned. And you know, one of the greatest sin he did is to kill Uriah because he wanted his wife. But we see here David, he is confessing his own sin. No one is asking him. No one is coming to me and saying, you know, I want us to understand this. I guess we do Sunday school. In the Bible teaching, we're talking about David's mistakes, isn't it?
Yes.
His sins. And we know, when the prophet Nathan came to David, when he told him about the sin he committed, don't forget, David was the king. He had all the right to kill the prophet David. He had all the right to tell the prophet, who are you to talk to me like this? And kill him. But David did not do that. He saw, he felt his sin. He set the way to the scripture. He said, for I will declare my iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. He had a godly sorrow. He did not wait to prove himself. We know that how at some point, when his own son was fighting against him, was trying to do a coup d'etat in a way, to overthrow his own father. But David did not find, because he was sorry for his sin. He said, if it is the will of God, let it be. That is what he
sought.
Godly sorrow does not look at who caused the problem. Godly sorrow does not look at the conditions of the day. You know, I could not pray today because it was too hot. You know, I was praying today, and someone coughed very next to me. I started to be afraid of COVID. Godly sorrow does not care about circumstances. Godly sorrow, it says, Lord, if I have to die in now, I want to make heaven my own. During the day of COVID, we know that there were restrictions. One of the big restrictions is touching each other. We were not allowed to touch each other. We had to keep the distance. All I know is that at the work we do, the brethren will phone, I'm sick. And we have to go and pray over them. What does the Bible say? Is there any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church. And what do the elders do?
Lay
hands on the sick. We don't do this because it's COVID. I lay hands on the sick. It means I must touch the sick.
Yeah.
Anointing them with oil. How do I anoint my doctor? Touch the person?
Yeah.
But all I know is that I'll say, God, it's in your will. God, if it's your will, let your will be done. I know I've prayed for people who are coming positive. I was never positive. I've laid hands on some people. Some people will come and tell you, you listen to, you know, all the symptoms, you can say, this is COVID. And I know my dear sister, she's in denial. She doesn't want to say it's COVID, but I can tell you this. And even when I know, you know, when you know, what does the devil do? He starts preaching to you. Maybe you must not touch it, you're going to have to be positive. No, maybe you must not do this. But all I know is that if God has spoken, God is not a liar.
Amen.
God is able to protect. I would pray over there and say, oh, Mama, God will lead you. Walk away. And surely God will do this.
Amen.
With the word of God, we don't compromise.
Amen.
With the word of God, we follow.
Yeah.
With the word of God, what He says, we do. Yesterday afternoon, they say, if it tells you something, it feels stupid. But if it's in the word of God, we follow.
Yeah.
Because we know God is in
you.
In Jeremiah 32, verse 23, it says, behold, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? We know that with God, nothing is hard. With God, it never fails.
Man.
He's a God who's able. This is an opportunity. It is an opportunity. Let me tell you, this is what I've learned. God called me into this work in 2018 in October. I'm now about 3 years plus in this way. I have learned that even in a sermon, you try to preach the same sermon, it never go out the same way.
That's very true.
Even if I'm lying, I've written the sermon I'm preaching today.
Nice.
I know even if I preach it again, it will never come the same way. Why?
That's very true.
Why? Even though I try to lead way away, it
bless
does not come out the same.
Don't
why? Because God has a purpose.
Yeah.
What God is talking to
what is
this? It's not for someone. But I want to take advantage.
Glory be to God.
Let me tell you, I'm standing here today, I've made mistakes. Maybe I'm not dressed the way you understand. Maybe my color matching is not right. But let me tell you, what is your determination today?
Yes.
Those who want to go to heaven, they don't care about the circumstances.
Amen.
They don't care about the surrounding. The determination is to make to heaven. One lady says, she had a neighbor. They had not spoken for 15 years. Because the neighbor almost killed them. When she heard the godly sorrow, she started praying. And God said, you must go and be reconciled to your neighbor. She stood up, she didn't care who was wrong. She didn't care who started the problem. She didn't care whether she was right. She went to the neighbor and said, neighbor, forgive me. That's what she saw. She said, forgive me. And guess what? Immediately she reconciled with the neighbor and she came back to pray. God forgive us.
Amen.
God bless you. Glory be to God.
This is an opportunity.
Yeah.
In Proverbs 28, verse 30, it says, he that covereth his sin, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. I very much understand that there's no one among us who does not want to prosper. The other child, you want to prosper in school, don't cover your sins. When we come to the word of God, I don't know, but I know in Namibia there was Africans as well. In Africans, there's a word called donkop. A donkop is someone who is just stupid. Whether you take the child to the best school, they can never be wise. It's a donkop. When we come to the word of God, there's no donkop. Whether you go to school, you have been placed in the worst of the classes. But I'm telling you, if you come to God today, you can turn around the situation.
Yes.
When I went to university, I've said it, my parents could not pay for my fees. The only money my father ever gave me was 20 rands. And 20 rands could not even buy me a meal for the day. That's all he gave me. When I went to university, the little money I had, I could only register. In our days, I know these days things have gone better.
In our days, there was no online registration. Computers were unknown.
Yeah.
In our days. So we used to go and study at the gate. The university would put containers at the gate. You go in there with all the papers, your certificate. You need fixed certificates, you know, all confirmation, proof of results and all this. And you go and give them. When you give them, they go through the requirements. Do you meet the requirements? Once they say you meet the requirements, they say you are admitted, then you can go through the gate to the admin to go and register. You can go past the gate. If you don't, you don't qualify, you don't even enter the gate, you go back, sorry. In my time, all I know is that I only had money. God gave me money, 3,880, that's all I had. It qualified me to register. When I went to the gate, I was qualified. I went to the admin. That's all I could pay. That is the registration fee.
Right.
And in the university, by June, all your fees must be paid up. I didn't know how I'm going to pay. I didn't know what is going to happen. But all I know is that I have entered. You know, to me in those days, it was quite an achievement. That, I'm stepping on the grounds of the university. By the way, what is God saying in the Israelites? Where you set your foot, it will be your place. I stepped in. I remember when I was in the university, I had nowhere to sleep. I used to sleep on the floor in someone's room in my first year. Food, obviously, I can't talk about it. I used to eat an unhealthy meal. According to the dietitian, when he talks, he says, I used to eat brown bread with acha oil. And all I know is that at university, most of the sickness that affects the children, the students, is piles. Because they eat a lot of fatty food. It starts with your heartburn, then from there it evolves into piles. All I know is that I ate an unbalanced meal, but I never had a heartburn in a single day.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, if you come here, God changes the diet of you.
Yeah.
God changes around situations.
Yeah.
The problem is you believe it.
Yeah.
God turns around situations.
Amen.
On the test, I told you I got a zero. The lecturer just came and said, no, there's too many people who have got zero here. So we'll give you a second chance, another test. In 2 weeks' time, another test. And I'm thinking to myself, how will I do this? Because I'm trying to study. When I did high school, I did maths. All I know is x times x is x squared. X plus x is 2x. That's all I know. And when I went there, I'm doing accounting. Someone gave me a balance sheet. He put X's there in assets, you know. And then there, this. Now I'm trying to add the X's. They don't agree with the X's. I did not understand. It's showing me a structure of a balance sheet. I was trying to apply my understanding. I was failing this money. Now they've given us a second opportunity. We are going to write another test. I'm trying again. I cannot understand this thing. Let me tell you what God can do. It happened that I had studied, I have tried all my best. I practiced accounting until it was around 11 o'clock at night. And I knew now I've given up. I've done the best I can. Now I'm going to sleep. I had given up. I remember even telling about to put my parents that, hey, I don't know where I'll get the money. I must change courses. I'm now going for computer science. This accounting is not my thing. As I was walking out of the lecture hall where I was studying, I was going to where I stay, something said, Norman, pass by and check one of your classmates. As I was entering the residence of my classmate, I met this one guy. He was doing honors. He used to be our tutor. I met him. He looked at me and said, you look very worried. What's happening? I told him, accounting is not for me. What? Accounting, are you sure? I said, Baba, it's not for me. He said, you know what? Accounting is okay. Give me 20 minutes, let me finish. I'm going to help you today.
Amen.
I was so excited, but I'm thinking, well, we'll see if it works, because for me, whether it helped me one way, I waited. Let's go back to the next hour. We went there, now we have to practice accounting because we're not late. It's not good. We practiced, he worked it out. He explained to me, now I'm thinking, and he's using money. I said, are you sure? He said, yes. You add this, this is money. Don't look at the X, ignore them. I said, forget about the X. And I looked at him and said, are you sure the balance sheet is this simple? You just have to understand the structure. As you do this, this goes there, it's there, isn't it? This you owe someone, is it? It's a liability. Put it under liability. I said, are you sure like this? Yes. I went back, I started practicing. You know, when I practiced, to me, it was like it's very unreal. It felt too good to be true. But I felt I would follow. I followed and practiced. 2 a.m. I finished. I went back to take a shower. I remember I went back to take a shower. After taking a shower, there was this coolness in me. I feel very content that day. And I'm thinking, today I feel good. I went to the next hour to write the test. I was the first one to arrive.
Yes.
I arrived there, no one was sitting, I was waiting. I wrote the test. Guess what I got?
90%. Amen.
Our God can change the situation.
Amen.
Our God can do anything.
Bless you.
I'm saying this, I want to encourage a young person. Yes. I don't care what people tell you.
Yes. Yes.
I have been at work. Where I used to work, at some point I had messed up and resigned. I resigned not knowing what I would eat tomorrow. All I know is that after I had messed up, I went to prayer. I thank God for the preparation he taught me to pray. I went to pray. As I was praying, I was sorry. I said, God, forgive me. I prayed, I said, Lord, forgive me. I went home. I'm resigning today. I had my first car, it must go for service. I woke up that morning, you know, I can't even explain today. I had so much courage. I took my car for service. By the way, I'm getting my last salary, but I took my car for service. As I just brought my car for service, you know that morning, you know, you wake up, I didn't even bath, I just wiped my face up and I'll drop my car, come and take a shower. As I was walking back now to catch a taxi, I get a call. Hello, are you confident? I'm confident, yes. How do you know me? No, we've got a job offer for you. Job offer for me? You know, I'm arguing with the person, I'm thinking, who told you I need a job? No. And, you know, this lady, she's so patient with me. No, I know we're going to take it easy. Please, we want to meet you. Are you sure? Yes. I said, okay, you want to meet me? You said, what time then? No, in 30 minutes, I said, I'm sorry. I can't meet you in 30. Can I meet you tomorrow? I've just submitted my car for service. I can't make it. No, we are willing to wait for you anytime you want. You come. I said, okay, I understand. I have not bathed. I'm going home. I'll wipe myself. I'll drop my teeth. You know, I tried to add a whole lot of things to make it longer. The lady said, no, you will wait for as long as you want.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
When I arrive at home, I'm sweating. I'm trying to make it good. You can now make the time longer, as I said. Now I'm feeling guilty. I quickly, I know I've brushed my teeth earlier on. So I'm trying. So I just quickly, I took a little page and something, you know, and I went. I was not even wearing a tie. I was wearing just a t-shirt. I just put a jacket on. I did with the taxi. When I arrived at the area, I found them. I'm at such a place. Please direct me. You know, God, when he wants to show you, he will show you that there is no situation impossible.
Yes.
When I arrived, where I dropped off, when they directed me, instead of going where the company is this way, I went the opposite way. So as I'm phoning here, I'm telling her, I'm inside, I said, no, you've gone the opposite way. You need to go there, go the other side. I phone, I arrived there. When I arrive, I'm walking in, you know, like, I don't know, it's like you don't really care, you know. I walked in to the reception. Oh, are you confident? Oh, thank you for coming. Thank you so much. Oh, my boss is going to be here. You managed to come. And I'm sitting, I'm wearing a t-shirt, and I'm just having a jacket on. And I am going to meet the financial director.
Wow.
I walk in, I sat there. You know, you don't even care in preparation. Those who know interview, you need to know the company. You need to research. I've done nothing about it. I didn't care about it. I walked in. So when I walked in, as I sat down, they were sitting there. There's the financial manager, the financial director there. You know, you walk in, I said to them, guys, I know you called me the short notice. I could brought the rest up. And I'm sweating where I am. Can I take off my jacket? And they said to me, oh, no, feel free. If you want us to give you time to settle down, we can give you time. I took off my jacket. By the way, I'm wearing a t-shirt. And it's not even tucked in for that measure. I took my, you know, you do some things. I don't know what God put me, but to me, it's like I don't care. What I didn't ask, to me, it's more like, you know what? I didn't apply, you called me. So I'm here. I put my jacket, you know, I put it nicely on the chair. I sat down. You know, God is good.
Yeah.
God is good. They asked questions. When they asked me a question, I said to them, can I draw it for you? Please give me a whiteboard. They give me a whiteboard. They asked me for a strategy. I started writing a strategy for them. Unknowingly, I gave them the solution for their problem before they knew it. I wrote everything. When I finished, they were looking at each other. Now, I'm surprised because to me, it's like, then, you got it. So what? And they are looking at each other, and now they are not asking questions. I'm waiting for questions, no questions coming. And they say to me, we want you, you are hired. And I'm saying to you, you must be joking, guys. You can't hire me now. You have to wait for month end. I'm still going to get salary, I'm working. I can't wait for two companies. I tell them the tax law in our country doesn't allow it, all these things. They say to me, we know what you are saying. We are willing to give you a check. And not register you, but you must be here. Hey. Are you sure you want me? When do you want tomorrow? I said, yeah, but I must go fetch my car. I can't come tomorrow. Okay, please. Okay, we'll give you 2 days to settle yourself. Come on the third day. When I arrived there, my first day was asked, was, how much do you want? How much do you want? That's what God can do.
Yeah.
Today, yeah. We're talking of restoration.
Yeah.
I want you to understand that this community is an unusual one.
Yeah. Yeah. Bless you.
Yeah. We need to get a blessing.
Amen. Amen.
I used to write my own salary. I used to write a check myself for how much I want. I would write 40,000, they would give me. I used to write my own salary. When I go there, I remember at some point, the first salary they wrote it for me, I went to the man, no, you guys are robbing me. This salary is too little.
Yeah.
No, I'm leaving. And that's cheap financial. Please don't leave. How much do you want? Please. That's what God can do.
Yeah.
God can turn around situations.
Yeah. Amen.
God can change the situation.
Yeah.
But I'm in the right way. That's the question. Are you not going to repent this morning? Are you not going to give God a chance? Are you not going to try him? In Malachi, when you talk to the Israelites about the tithe, he says, try me and see how I'm not offended. God is calling you this morning. Try me and see if I will not turn around.
Amen.
Try me and see if I will not restore you.
Amen.
God is for you to restore today.
Amen.
God wants to restore.
Yeah.
The problem is, can you see it?
Yeah.
Can you see it?
Yeah.
Glory be to God.
We are not going to take more time. There's the scripture that I like. Jeremiah 33.
Yes.
Yes.
Telephone to heaven. Right.
This is the problem.
Yeah.
You're going, daddy, you're calling your daddy. And you say, I will answer you. And he says, sure, he's here to answer.
Amen.
He's not very far. He's just here to answer.
Amen.
And you know what the answer is, this one? I will show you great and mighty things which you don't know.
Yeah.
What does that mean? It's what you ask for. You
answered, yes.
Glory. I want to say a question with this. If a child comes to me, then I'm asking. I think they have said something. And then daddy will say, what do you want? I don't know. I said, daddy, what do you want? I don't know. I think as a parent, I would think, there's a problem with my child.
Yeah.
You need to get a psychiatrist here. Something is not right. What about all you say, call unto me?
Yes.
You just come and come and say, Lord, you know me.
Amen.
You know, you become like the publican. Don't forget the publican.
Yes.
The publican only said a few words, Lord, have mercy on me.
Amen.
He said he smote his breast. He could not look up. He said, Lord, have mercy on me.
Amen.
It is not going to be the amount of words they're going to say. It is the amount of heart they're going to say.
God bless you. Lord
also, when you come in all the heart, God is going to bless you.
Amen.
God is going to give you more than you want. Amen. This is an opportunity.
Amen. Yeah.